I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, daspitlaw.com.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston continues now.
What's happening, Paul? What's up, Paul? Most interactive show. I really enjoy that aspect of it. Y'all keep it up.
Get involved in the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776. Here's Paul Gallant.
Patch Grade in for Paul Gallant. Advocating for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 975-925. Sean Mapes. He's on the other side. He's wearing a hat. I can't see the long flowing locks today from Sean Mapes because he's got it tucked up under the hat.
Honestly, it's because I just didn't have time to like actually do my hair.
So Sean, you didn't have time to do the man bun today?
No, I didn't.
Is that a requirement? No man bun? Have to wear the hat?
No. It's not just the man bun. Sometimes I can just wear it down, but it's a whole thing. Normally, I'll wear a headband or something. That way, it keeps it out of my face because I have to look down a lot.
Is that a Lopez thing? Like, which Lopez? Brooke Lopez wears the headband?
Yes.
Or Robin Lopez?
Robin Lopez.
Robin Lopez wears the headband.
Because he has the
Sideshow Bob hair.
Yeah. Yes.
Gotta get in with that. Gotta get in with that. Hey, coming up tonight, 7 o'clock. Here on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, you will get Astros baseball. The Astros taking on the Space Cowboys. We'll have live play-by-play for that game here on ESPN 97.5, both today and tomorrow. So today, 7 o'clock, tomorrow, 7 o'clock, Astros, Space Cowboys, as the Astros get their final two spring training games in before the regular season begins on the 30th. Get those games right here on ESPN. Now, Charles Barkley never has something boring to say. Always has some very interesting thing. Whether you agree or not, Charles always has something interesting to say. He did an interview on 60 Minutes. Charles said some stuff. Started off talking about college basketball and where he thinks the sport is actually going.
It's a travesty and a disgrace. I'm so mad now how we can mess up something that's so beautiful.
How do we mess it up?
We can't pay all these players. In the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to have 25 schools that's going to dominate the sports because they can afford players. And these schools who can't afford or won't pay players are going to be irrelevant.
Interesting thing there, because I feel like when he said they can't pay all the players, I don't think he meant the players don't deserve to be paid. I think what he meant is the landscape is not even. Therefore, players in big schools can get more money than players in small schools. You can't pay all the players, meaning you can't pay all the guys in the small schools because those schools don't have the same business resources that big schools have. And when he says, hey, you're going to have 25 schools, I think it'll be bigger than that. But we're probably talking about, look at the Power Five. The majority of the Power Five They're all going to have big-time NIL deals and NIL collectives. It's working out pretty well in Miami, by the way. You're going to need to have those. It's working out pretty well at A&M, by the way. You need to have those.
Yeah, I mean, and look at this Final Four already. Kind of, it's like, well, I don't know. FAU seems to be all right, but it's going to be a flash in the pan. Like, they're not going to build anything sustainable because their coach is going to leave, and then their players, the ones that have eligibility left, are going to probably play at Miami or play at a school that has a bigger NIL budget or a bigger NIL, you know, infrastructure to get the guys that are on San Diego State and all these teams that are making these deep runs.
And look, if you are a kid who's playing basketball in college because getting to the pro is your end game, especially if you're a kid who doesn't come from a lot of means, and look, there's a lot of these kids, they don't come from a lot of means. Your kid doesn't come from a lot of means, and you have the opportunity, well, you know what? I can make $50,000 where I'm at, or I could go there and make $2 million. That's not a hard family decision. And I'm not sneezing on 50 grand, because if somebody walked up to me and handed me 50 grand right now, I'd be really happy. But at the same time, if you have one person holding a bag of 50 grand, another person holding a bag with $2 million in it, which one are you taking to dinner? That's also not a hard question to ask. So when he says college basketball is going to be dominated by, he said 25 teams, I think it might be 40 teams. I mean, the SEC is 16 teams, and the Big Ten is going to be, what, 16 teams? ACC,
Big East, because if we're talking basketball, like the Big East has schools that'll spin,
and then when you get into football, it's really the Big Ten, the SEC, the ACC,
and like half the Big 12.
I don't even know if I mean, once Texas and Oklahoma leave for the SEC, though, I don't think the Big 12 is going to generate nearly as much NIL.
No,
the Pac-12 losing USC, using UCLA, the NIL money is going to come from Uncle Phil. It's going to be in Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Pac-12, it's like Oregon, maybe Washington if they get some stuff together. But yeah, no. Football is much more dire than basketball. Because at the end of the day, basketball still has the tournament where, like, it doesn't matter. Like, there's one top two seed that made the Elite Eight this year. Like, there's no top, what? The highest seed is four. In the Final Four.
Smaller schools can compete in basketball.
Yeah.
And they can't compete in football. It just costs too damn much.
Yeah.
You know, the facilities that you need to have for football, the number of players, the number of coaches, the amount of equipment. For basketball, you have 15 guys.
Yeah, and there is just a certain level of, like, want to that builds the willingness that, you know, Texas A&M has a lot of want to. They really want to be good at football. Alabama really wants to be good at football. LSU really want, and like, you know,
Vanderbilt not so much.
Yeah, or UConn not so much. Like UConn cannot walk in and be like, how do we become, you know, the LSU, the Florida State, the whatever? Like how do we replicate that model? It's like you can't. It's like not enough of your graduates care enough to give money to the football team.
Not that kind of money.
Yeah, not on a level to compete with those guys.
You're not building a big house and stores.
No.
Where the biggest building outside of UConn is probably a jail. I'm not kidding. Stores is literally in the middle of absolutely freaking nowhere in Connecticut. It is the university, a jail, and a lot of nothing. They picked the cheapest place they could build that university. Nobody's up there. Charles Barkley had some comments on one man known as the snake, one man known as the cupcake. That would be Kevin Durant.
He's very sensitive, great player. He's part of that generation who think he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, was that a fair criticism?
We're in agreement. Today's players are a little more sensitive to criticism than your generation.
That would be an understatement.
Not only are today's players a little more sensitive to criticism thanks to social media, but KD is absolutely the most sensy. To be as great a player as Kevin Durant is, and be that sensitive is just insane to me. If you are essentially, we talk about the players of his generation. If you are a top five player of your generation, LeBron is going to be one. If you're a top five player of your generation, why do you give a flying rat's tail what some rando on Twitter says? Why do you care? There are 50 million people who follow the NBA who have opinions that don't matter in any way, shape, or form because they're just trolls or randos with like two followers. I mean, I remember Kevin Durant with his 900 burner accounts responding to eggs. Why? Why do you care? Why are you even scouting Twitter like that? I mean, I'm a radio host. When some egg or somebody with like two followers or somebody that you look up their account and it's just bot post, bot post, bot post, and they're like, oh, you suck. I don't care. I could care less. If you are like in our business, if you're sensitive to what Twitter says, you're not going to make it. When you're one of the greatest basketball players of your generation, you should give zero F's. Absolute ZFG. It's not just a phrase. It's a lifestyle, Kevin Durant. And you should give absolutely none about what, you know, Joey in Pittsburgh with his two followers has to say about you on Twitter. There's some more stuff on here from Charles that I want to get to because one of it involves Michael Jordan and then another one of it involves stuff that you or I could never, ever get away with in a million years, and he proudly admits it. Coming up next.
ESPN 97.5. You're locked in with the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Pat Crane advocating for Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5. 92.5. Hang out, Sean Mapes. I love listening. Charles is highly entertaining. Even though a lot of times the hijinks, the shenanigans that they pull on NBA on TNT, and even Charles, you know, doing the college basketball CBS, Charles is entertaining. No matter what he says, you want to hear it because you laugh. Well, he then went into something that wasn't necessarily all about laughs. It was very interesting. Charles gets into why he is no longer friends with Michael Jordan. Now, Charles and Michael used to be boys. They used to go out gambling and playing golf together all the time. But now, well, they've hit Splitsville.
What I said, I think that he don't have enough people around him going to tell him no. And he got really offended, and we haven't spoken. But, John, I'm going to do my job because I have zero credibility if I criticize other people in the same boat and not criticize my best friend.
Even if you have nothing to apologize for, you think of just picking up the phone and trying to repair this thing with Michael?
I got an ego, too, John. You can't be great at something like, that doesn't get it right to be a jerk.
You think you'll resolve this eventually?
He got my number.
Born 3 days apart.
I thought that was really interesting. That Charles, like, all I said was he got too many yes men. And Michael's so mad he won't take his calls. That sounds like it's a Michael problem. I mean, look, if you're friends with Charles, you know Charles is going to, he's not going to sugarcoat things. And you know that Charles on TV, he's got to say what he's going to say, and he's doing it to be entertaining. And if Charles says something on TV, you really shouldn't be, if you're friends, you really shouldn't be getting all butthurt about it. And as great a player as Michael Jordan was, Michael sucked as a GM, and Michael sucks as an owner. I mean, the Hornets are a disaster. I think they've had two winning seasons And how long has Michael owned the Hornets now? 11 years? 12 years? They've had two winning seasons? Michael's not a great owner. You know, he wasn't a good GM. He wasn't a good talent evaluator. It is interesting that you can be friends with somebody that long and something that overwhelmingly insignificant, a comment, basically terminates a friendship. So, interesting, Carlo, I'll tell a funny story here. Guy that I used to be best friends with when I was in high school and college. My then fiance, now wife, but at that point we were engaged. He comes over, and he used to come over all the time. He comes over with his new girlfriend. When they get to the house, girlfriend looks my fiance, now my wife, but looks her up and down. Won't speak to either one of us. Wanted to know where the bathroom was, so she asked my friend to ask me where the bathroom was when he knew where the bathroom was. He'd been to my apartment about 3,700 times. She would have him ask me, hey, you know, could I have a glass of this or a drink? Or I'm like, so the next day I said to him, I said, does she like not like me? Like, you know, she didn't say a word. And he got so mad and offended. We never spoke again. After we were best friends for like 7 years. We did everything together. And now that was it. I said, does she just not like me? She didn't say a word. We never spoke again. Why you got to say that about my girl? I can't believe you'd say that. Click. That's how a friendship ended. Sometimes friendships end for things that don't really make a whole lot of sense. Then there was this one. And Sean, I got to ask you, and look, I think you're in the amnesty phase here, right? Have you ever been so bored at work or, you know, doing a show that was so bad that you fell asleep behind the board?
I've never fallen asleep during like a live show at here or anywhere.
So live show, you've never fallen asleep?
Never fallen asleep.
I've certainly never fallen asleep during a live show either. It would be pretty obvious if I did because, you know, here I'd be, you know, Mike Francesa snoring on the radio. You know, that'd be, whoa, I wasn't asleep. By the way, I love Mike Francesa. I have the utmost respect for him. He was one of the most influential people early in my career. So I'm not taking a shot at him. It was funny. It was on tape. I mean, if we're going to be real about it, it happened. And it was kind of funny. But for his career, he could kind of do whatever the hell he wants. The guy is a sports radio god. But I've never fallen asleep. Charles Barkley, however, not only has he fallen asleep, he's perfectly proud of it.
It's just basketball. We're not solving inflation. We didn't just get back from Afghanistan.
But you're not a used car salesman either. I mean, if the game's no good, you'll admit it. You'll
say
it.
Because the fans ain't stupid. They just saw it. If I tell them that was a good game, they're going to be like, what the hell is Charles talking about?
You've said sometimes you've even fallen asleep on the set.
Oh, I've fallen asleep, like just sitting there watching like, oh, man, this is just bad basketball.
I want to be able to say, you know what? This is just a bad show. Then again, if it was a bad show, I'd probably be fired because it would be my fault the show was bad. But do you feel, Sean, that you should have the right as a producer, if the show you're working on is bad, and this is, I'm not talking about Paul. Paul's great. Paul's a ton of energy. Paul is entertaining and interesting. But if you happen to be doing a different show, and, you know, it was kind of boring, do you feel like you kind of have the right to just...
Yeah. I'll set an alarm for when the break needs to go off, and then I'll catch a quick 11-minute snooze.
It's like, hey, let me just put my feet up here just for a second. Oh, big stretch. Right. Do you have a dog?
No,
do you not. Do you have a cat?
No, no pet.
No pet. Okay.
I have had a dog before.
Though. Okay. Were you attached to the dog?
Yeah.
All right. So every time your dog would stretch, would you say, oh, big stretch? Like, you like talk to the dog?
A little bit. Yeah, sometimes. But I wouldn't, not specifically the big stretch. I was a big, like, what's going on? What? And just like to whatever route.
When you pet the dog, do you, who's a good boy?
Yeah.
Okay. So you talk to the dog.
Yeah.
Does Paul talk to his cat?
Yes, I'm 100%. I've never seen him talk to his cat. I've never seen his cat. I can guarantee you he talks to his cat.
I feel like Paul's definitely a cat whisperer. I don't understand the cat thing because I'm a dog person and I'm allergic to cats, which helps me not be a cat person. So I don't understand the whole cat thing. But my brother has a cat. So it's not like I'm going to sit there and go, well, you know, Paul has he's got a cat. My brother's got a cat. My brother's a freaking ninja. Like, my brother's a fifth degree black belt. He's got a cat. I don't think anybody's going to him and be like, hey, sissy, you have a cat. He'd kick their ass. So I don't look at it like that. But also, if you live in an apartment, it's a lot easier to have a cat than a dog. And Paul lives in a nice apartment. My brother lives in an apartment. It's easier to have a cat. You don't have to walk it. You don't have to take it out in the middle of the night. It's not going to bark for 35 minutes if somebody rings the doorbell. I guess it's just easier. But I can't do the cat thing. Very much a dog person. I like the fact that if somebody tries to break into my house, my dog will eat them. Not aware of any attack cats, although my mom's youngest sister, who's a few years older than I am, she used to have a cat called Psycho. Cat's name was Psycho.
Oh, that's a nice name.
The cat would sit on the – when you walked into her house, you came in through the entranceway, and then you were in the living room. And there was a recliner right there at like as you walk in. The cat would lay across top of the recliner. And as you walked by, it would smack you in the back of the head if you didn't pet it. Which I always thought was hilarious. And people would walk in, and then also the cat's like, bam, off the back of the head. Like the cat was Gibbs-slapping people before Gibbs was Gibbs-slapping people. If you don't know the Gibbs reference, well, I can't help you.
I got it.
I know that you got it. I'm just saying, people in general, if you don't know who the Gibbs character is or the head slap, I can't help you. You got to stop watching bad reality shows. By the way, are there any bad reality shows that you're currently watching? Rockets do not count.
Oh, okay. Then no.
Then no.
I watch a lot of Josh Christopher. But that doesn't count. So
that doesn't count for this particular exercise. All right, coming up next, we will talk to Roughnecks defensive tackle Glenn Logan. Roughnecks playing tonight in D.C. against the undefeated Defenders. We'll talk to Glenn Logan next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
That's great to be Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5, joining us right now on the HR&P guest line. Defensive tackle for your Houston Roughnecks. That would be your first place. Houston Roughnecks, he is Glenn Logan. What's going on, Glenn? How are you?
Nothing much, man. How you doing?
Doing good, brother. Appreciate you taking some time with us. Let's see here. You are Louisiana guy. You played at LSU. You won one of them fancy championships and got one of them big old rings. Now you're playing football here in Houston. Do you like being able to play close to home?
Oh, yeah. My family get to come check me out. It's really good. Like, you know, the South is the best place to play football. Great weather, great people, great fans. So I love it.
Now, I'm not trying to get you to compare one league versus another league. I just want you to compare one city versus another city. Would you rather be spending your time in Houston or would you rather be spending your time in Cleveland?
I'd rather spend my time in Houston. I'm not going to lie. Cleveland wasn't that much. Wasn't all that. Don't get me wrong, Cleveland was it was pretty good, but I just feel like Houston does it better.
Now, listen, I don't blame you. As somebody who moved down here from New York and then realized winter lasts for about 7 days, and in the teeth of the winter, it's 75 degrees down here, and we don't get snow. All of those kind of things. Why didn't I move down here 10 years sooner? This is
Being from Louisiana. Me and snow don't go very well.
All right, now as somebody who is getting introduced to Southern foods and Cajun foods, what is, I guess, your favorite food from Louisiana? What's your favorite food from back home?
I would definitely say crawfish. Definitely.
Does it have to be like crawfish, super spicy?
Yeah, gotta be spicy. Gotta be spicy, nothing other than that.
All right, let me ask you, how did you wind up getting in with the XFL? You were originally drafted by the team in Arlington, also known as the enemy, because everything in Arlington and Dallas is the enemy of people in Houston. So yeah, you were drafted by the enemy, but then you get traded to Houston. So how did you wind up getting into the XFL, and then what was it like for you to move, I guess, because you guys practice at the same facility, you move from, like, one hotel to the other?
So, you're actually in the same hotel. So all I did was just move rooms and then went right down the hall for a locker room. But the way I got into the XFL was just something crazy. Like, it was a blessing, but I was coming from a workout, just on the phone with my friends, and then I just get this random call from Jay Hayes saying that I was just drafted to the Arlington Renegades. Talked to him, I was just prank calling me at first. I didn't know what it meant. And then once we got into, like, meetings and stuff, like, I just knew that it was really a real thing. So I just took advantage of the opportunity. And when I got traded to Houston, I just definitely just took it and ran with it. Play with a chip on my shoulder.
Glenn, what's it like playing for Coach Wade? You know, Wade Phillips, one of the greatest defensive minds, greatest defensive coaches in the history of the NFL. What's it like playing for him, and how do you enjoy playing in that system?
Oh, I love it. It's very D-line friendly. He wants us to get up the field and make plays in the backfield. I love it. Coach Wade, he believes in strength and numbers. We rotate a lot. He's a really good coach, keeps us motivated, making sure everything's on point. I love the way how this defense just gels together to get, like, we're a band of brothers.
We're talking with Glenn Logan, defensive tackle of the Houston Roughnecks on the HRMP listener line. Glenn, you guys play tonight. You're playing in D.C. Against the Defenders. They're very different from every other team in the league in that they are a run-first team. Everybody else seems to be a pass-first team. A lot of teams run, an air raid offense similar to what you guys run. They are a power-running team. They've got two quarterbacks who are both mobile guys. They run the ball more than they throw it. They lead the league in rushing. How different is it for you guys to prepare for a team that plays offense completely different than everybody else?
If you check the tape, I mean, we specialize in stopping the run, so it's been a really good game. I've seen those guys, their scheme is really good. It's very different from the rest of the teams in the league. That's what makes them very unique. But, I mean, we specialize in stopping the run, so I got our money on us.
I'm not betting against you either. I just want to know if you have to look at things differently, because they do present a unique difference in that, you know, they run the ball. Most everybody else, throws the ball around the yard, and they've got the fewest passing yards in the league and the most rushing yards in the league. So it's just a weird dynamic to see one team be completely opposite from the other. You know, they've had some success about it. We were talking about, this during the week about how, you know, we didn't get to see the undefeated matchup. You guys had a tough game last week. But now you have a chance to come in Monday Night Football and go and knock off the other undefeated team that's remaining in the league. Is that something that that you guys talk about amongst each other, hey, these guys don't have an L, let's go hand them one?
Oh, yes, most definitely. We talk about it offensively, defensively. Even our partner talked about it. So, I mean, everybody's in on it. We felt like what we did last week, we made a lot of mistakes. We gave that game up. We just got to move on to the next. We're prepared. We're ready. I mean, I think we're going to show a lot of fight tonight.
Glenn, you signed an NIL deal in 2021 with WWE, part of their Next in Line program. Am I talking to a future NXT World Champion?
I don't know, but if that opportunity comes, I'm definitely looking for WWE World Champion. Not NXT. I'm looking for the big thing. I want it all.
Hey, listen, it never hurts to set your sights high. I have no problem. But did you grow up a wrestling fan? Are you a wrestling guy? Something that you've ever done? Even if you're just messing around with your friends or your teammates, have you ever been a wrestling guy?
When I was younger, I used to watch it. I was a diehard when I was younger. Cried when Shawn Michaels retired and stuff. But I haven't done any wrestling. I feel like I could be a really good entertainer. I feel like I could definitely get a crowd on their toes, or I can make everyone laugh. So I definitely think if I were to go that route, I can. But I'm just focused on football now.
So, I mean, look, you're a defensive tackle. You're probably about 6'3" and about 300 pounds. Are you hitting the super kick like Shawn Michaels?
Oh, yeah. I'm flexible now. Don't underestimate me now. I'm flexible.
He's Glenn Logan, defensive tackle with the Houston Roughnecks. Glenn, really appreciate you taking some time with us today. Good luck tonight. We'll see you guys next week when you come back home.
Okay, appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Glenn Logan with us on the HR&P guest line. Your 4-1 Houston Roughnecks taking on the 5-0 DC Defenders tonight. That game's on ESPN2. But Monday Night Football, battle between the two division leaders in the XFL. And look, you know, the Roughnecks took a tough loss last week. They lost their number one receiver in Jontre Kirkland. He is out for the year, suffered a chest injury early in the game last week. And they also played without Trent Harris, who is the leading sack artist in the XFL, leader in tackles for loss. He is really their top pass rusher and a guy who demands a double team on every single play. He wasn't available last week either, and you could see his presence was missed. The guys he usually frees up, guys like Tim Ward and Emmanuel Ellerby, these guys who, you know, now they're all getting those double teams. And, you know, not having a guy like Harris, who's a terrific pass rusher, it definitely hurt them a bit last week. And they wind up losing a tough game to Seattle. This week, they'll look to get back on the horse. The first time in franchise history they've lost. So they'll look to get a win against DC tonight, which should be a very good game. The Roughnecks are a Mike Leach air raid offense. And the Defenders are pretty much ground and pound with a pair of mobile quarterbacks in Jordan Tamu and De'Aaron King. Pretty sure everybody here kind of remembers who De'Aaron King is. He is the backup quarterback for DC, but he comes in a lot of packages. They have a lot of separate packages for De'Aaron King. De'Aaron King, he's got four touchdowns or five touchdowns on the ground. So even though he comes in sub packages, he's been very effective for the Defenders, who have outrushed the rest of the league by nearly double. But they run the ball more than anybody in that league by a solid margin. All right. Coming up next, I know we got some garbage time to get to. So, Sean, do you have – I have a few things for our garbage time that we'll get to. And the NCAA replacing their former useless leader with another useless leader. We'll get to it next.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
All right, one more segment to go. Batch Creighton advocating for Paul Gallant, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. We got the Astros and the Space Cowboys live tonight, 7 o'clock, coming up here on both ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Wrapping up final segment before the Killer Bees. Joe Blank, Jeremy, voice of the Cougs, Branham, coming in and take you from 12 to 3. Now, Mark Emmert, horribly weak NCAA president, useless at his job. Mark Emmert finally out as the president of the highly corrupt NCAA. Charlie Baker, the new president, former governor of Massachusetts, new president of the highly corrupt NCAA. And what is Charlie Baker's basically very first public decision or public comments regarding, well, regarding NIL. And what does he want to do? Wants to hand off his job to somebody else already. Baker said the NCAA would like to create what I would call some consumer protections for families and student athletes around name, image, and likeness. I would love to create some transparency and accountability around that so families could actually know what they're getting into, and I'd really like to see some sort of uniform standard contract so when somebody signs it, they know they're getting the same agreement as everybody else. Everybody doesn't get the same order? This guy was a Republican saying he wants everybody to get the same exact deal. That doesn't sound very Republican to me, by the way, just as an aside. And because he doesn't think the NCAA is capable of doing this, he wants the government to intervene. Because what we really need is more government. Again, this guy was a Republican. Aren't Republicans anti-government? Why is he already saying, we need more government interference. We need more government help. Dude's already saying he can't do his job. Can we just launch the NCAA straight into the damn sun? These people can get nothing right. They even got a chance to hire somebody new who can give you some strength and leadership and direction. First thing he's doing, yeah, we need the government's help. Can we just take a hammer to his head? I mean, this is the stupidest, weakest, just lame. What the hell? We need government assistance to come in and help put in some regulation. No, you need to do your damn job. That's why you're the president of the NCAA. Do your damn job. Give your member schools the direction and the guidance and the basically an overlay of this is how we're going to do things from now on. Tell your NIL collectives to get on board or we're going to fine your ass. That's your freaking job. Charlie Baker said, no, we need the government. I can't do this. Why the hell are you the president then? Go clean the toilet. Maybe that's what you're good at. That's an embarrassment. You're brand new to the job. Oh, I can't do this. In what world do you get to be new at your job, new as a leader, and say, well, I can't lead it, and keep your damn job? It's the corrupt IOC, FIFA, NCAA. I think they're the three most corrupt organizations in sports. And only one of those is not international. Only one. the same organization that didn't want to pay college players to begin with because, well, we need to keep all that greedy-ass money for ourselves. Now, well, we have to organize and regulate and limit how much they get paid. Why? That money's not going to the school and it's not going to you. All these old dudes trying to stick their hands in the pockets of young men. It's disgusting. Let these kids get their money. Stay the hell out of it. The best thing the NCAA can do is fold. Cease to exist. Let the Power Five schools create their own entity and govern themselves. Let the G5 schools create their own entity and govern themselves. Because if there is any way to screw things, this I swear, this has to be what an NCAA meeting is look like. One guy stands up, I got a really bad idea. And the next guy over says, and I can make it even worse. And then they vote yes on everything. Launch that organization straight into the freaking sun. All right, it's garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Now, we're learning some things about Aaron Rodgers here, Sean Mapes. We're learning some things. And I'm wondering if maybe, is Aaron Rodgers a gold digger?
She take my money when I'm in need.
There is a chance he is.
She's a trifling friend indeed.
So,
oh, she's a gold digger.
Aaron Rodgers, who's dated Hollywood actresses,
that digs on me.
Race car drivers,
now I ain't saying she a gold digger.
And witches. Now is dating a billionaire heiress. 39-year-old Aaron Rodgers dating 26-year-old Mallory Edens. That would be daughter of billionaire Milwaukee Bucks owner Wes Edens. And apparently they're... It was casual before, but now maybe not so much. So, she's kind of in... popular since she represented the Bucks at the NBA draft lottery when she was 18. And Bill Simmons, who actually said something smart for once, said Mallory Edens won the internet. She's been in the public eye. She knows how to handle it.
I remember that draft lottery. I do.
Cavs won the lottery. Mallory Edens won the internet. Aaron Rodgers and Mallory Edens. Now, I can tell you when you're 39... having been 39, the only reason you date somebody who's 26 years old, there's one reason. And it's not their superior intellect. There's only one reason why you date somebody 13 years younger than you who you have zero things in common with. But for Aaron, there's two reasons. And one of them involves a whole lot of zeros that she's going to inherit. Had they not married, but I would not be surprised if this is the one that Aaron Rodgers doesn't punt on. I would not be surprised. Aaron Rodgers, gold digger. Have you ever heard the phrase going full Mike Tyson?
Yes, and I think it can reference different things, but in this case, what does it mean?
Actually, this person's going to go full Mike Tyson twice.
Oh.
So, Ashley Ruth Clark, 31-year-old woman, got arrested. She was trying to shoplift at a Nordstrom in Oregon. She's trying to steal about $800 worth of stuff when a security guard stopped her at the door. She first tried to fight off the guard, then said bad words to the guard. Then they got involved in a physical altercation where Miss Clark bit off the earlobe of the security guard. She went full Mike Tyson, treated the guard like they were Evander Holyfield, and bit their ear off. Doctors were not able to attach the earlobe of the security guard. All that for $800 worth of stuff. If you take a look at the mugshot of said woman, yeah, she might be a biter.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about, specifically about her face, but yeah, I'm not surprised looking at her mugshot.
She might be a biter.
I can't explain why.
When she got arrested for biting the ear off the security guard, she gave a false name and birthday because it turned out there were already two warrants for her arrest. So not only did she go full Mike Tyson in the store, she is now going to go full Mike Tyson afterwards. She's been sentenced to more than 5 years in prison. I don't know. You told me go without $800 worth of overpriced clothes or do a 5-spot in the state pen. I think I'd choose A and just not bother with the overpriced clothes.
Yeah, $800 worth of clothes.
Well, it's Nordstrom, so she probably got like 3 things.
Still, that does not seem, when you already have warrants, does not seem like a good, risk reward, I guess is the phrase. Doesn't seem like there's a much reward.
Like, why don't you just like go to Walmart or Old Navy where they have less security?
Yeah.
And you could steal like triple the stuff and it'd be like $250.
Yeah, go anywhere that they have less security, yeah.
So, thoughts and prayers for the security guard who now only has one earlobe. And for our biter, now I guess we can call her the new Miss Tyson. Enjoy prison. Get a little time in the yard. Don't get in trouble. You get thrown in the hole. Don't want to be in the hole. It's going to do it for us today. Want to say thanks to my man, Sean Mapes, on the other side of the glass, getting everything taken care of. To Glenn Logan, defensive tackle for the Roughnecks as they take on the Defenders tonight. Joe Blank, Jeremy Branham, Kill Bees! They're next.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.